In the heart of Newark's toughest neighborhoods, Cory Booker discovered something profound about America. Our lives are intertwined in ways we rarely acknowledge. His journey reveals how our greatest strength lies not in rugged individualism, but in what he calls a conspiracy of love. Countless individuals whose consistent acts of decency transform lives across generations. When Booker learned about his own ancestry, 47% African, 45% European, 7% Native American, he realized he embodied America's complex racial history. He descended from both slaves and slave owners, including a Confederate soldier. This revelation expanded his understanding of family beyond blood to encompass all who contribute to our journey. The civil rights movement directly shaped his family's destiny. After Bloody Sunday in Selma, two white attorneys joined New Jersey's Fair Housing Council, later helping Booker's parents fight housing discrimination in Bergen County. When his father tried buying a home in Harrington Park, he was falsely told it was sold. Through a test couple sting operation, they exposed the discrimination, though it led to a physical confrontation with the real estate agent. What's remarkable about these stories isn't just individual courage, but how they intertwine. John Lewis's bravery on Edmund Pettus Bridge unlocked opportunities for Booker's family. The attorneys who helped weren't famous heroes, just everyday people who refused to accept injustice. Their actions remind us that meaningful change happens when individuals join together in stubborn belief they can make a difference. What would you do if you could not fail? This question from Booker's mother proved transformative. Despite his impressive academic achievements, Stanford, Rhodes Scholarship, Yale Law, he struggled to define his path while peers pursued corporate careers. His mother's wisdom about faith versus fear became pivotal. Fear cuts off possibilities, faith expands them, she explained, referencing the biblical parable where investing servants were rewarded while the fearful one was punished. This insight led Booker to explore public service, bringing him to Newark, a city whose resilience captivated him. He planned to create a nonprofit there until philanthropist Ray Chambers suggested he run for mayor instead, planting the seed for his future path. The world you see outside of you is a reflection of what you have inside of you. These words from Miss Virginia Jones, Tenants Association president at Brick Towers, transformed Booker's perspective. When he first moved to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, he saw only drug dealing and surveillance. Miss Jones challenged him, "What do you see?" When he described the physical surroundings, she dismissed him, "You can't help me. If all you see are problems, that's all there will ever be. But if you're stubborn enough to see hope and love, then you can help me." Her wisdom taught him to see the community with loving eyes rather than reducing people to circumstances. At Brick Towers, where Booker lived from 1998 to 2006, Miss Jones remained a fierce resident advocate. After her son Charles's murder in the building's lobby in 1980, she transformed her grief into community responsibility, her love becoming defiant, stubborn, resolute. After facing constant 8-1 defeats on Newark City Council and intimidation from Mayor Sharp James, Booker nearly abandoned politics. Then Virginia Morton's call about Garden Spire's crisis, no security, broken elevators, drug dealing, and infestations, changed everything. Seeing children living in these conditions, Booker staged a hunger strike in a tent across from the complex. As community support and media attention grew, Mayor James visited on day 7. Booker responded with unexpected grace, calling James the father of Newark, and himself his son under a larger political family. Their embrace made front-page news. Though immediate improvements proved temporary, the protest achieved something more valuable. It united the community, gave residents a voice, and established that deplorable conditions wouldn't go unchallenged. The experience taught Booker that direct action, even if imperfect, catalyzes change. While words matter, physical presence in places of suffering holds unique power to break through political deadlock. Unlike Emmett Till's nationally galvanizing murder, Hassan Washington's death passed silently. Hassan lived below Booker in brick towers with his grandmother. Once an outgoing, bright child, Booker watched him drift toward trouble as a teenager, hanging with a crew in the lobby. Booker tried intervening through mentorship and outings, but his mayoral campaign pulled him away. After winning, security changes reduced his lobby presence, and Hassan's absence went unnoticed. 6 weeks after inauguration, Booker responded to a shooting scene, only to learn the victim was 18-year-old Hassan. Booker felt he'd failed Hassan deeply. Despite living in the same building, he hadn't been there when needed most. Hassan's story reveals systemic failures. Schools couldn't engage his talents, community programs lost to street economics, and justice offered only punishment. What had saved Booker's father from a similar fate was consistent kindness from his segregated town's community. Hassan needed that same conspiracy of love, but it never materialized. I see you. These words from Frank Hutchins, a 75-year-old housing advocate, reflected his extraordinary ability to truly see people. While Booker grew restless in meetings, Frank gave each speaker his complete attention. People gravitated toward his authentic presence as his listening transformed monologues into meaningful exchanges. Frank saw tenant meetings as spaces for healing. Housing is a human right, he'd say, citing America's empathy deficit as enabling poor living conditions. He was troubled by how post-W2 policies, restrictive covenants, redlining, and concentrated public housing created segregation and poverty, denying minorities generational opportunities. Frank pushed beyond tolerance toward love, believing that while tolerance merely acknowledges existence, love recognizes inherent value. For him, housing activism was about recognizing humanity. In 2009, as Frank lost his sight in hospice, their greetings became ritual. "Frank, it's Corey," Booker would say. "I see you, Corey," Frank would respond. During their final meeting, Booker held his hands. "Frank, it's Corey. I see you. Frank, I love you. I love you too." If you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. This African proverb embodies Booker's vision for America. Cynicism about our country amounts to surrender, while problems persist when we ignore our neighbor's struggles. America's story celebrates our connections. As Daniel Webster noted in 1825, we have a great duty of defense and preservation, and our proper business is improvement. Meeting challenges requires unity. We rise or fall together. The lines dividing us pale against the ties binding us through common interests and destiny. E pluribus unum, out of many, one. This unity demands collective work and sacrifice. When many despair over partisanship, we must recognize our power to transform what we criticize. Through daily choices and embracing our shared humanity, we shape our society. The conspiracy of love that shaped Booker's life is available to all, making America's promise a reality we build together.